Support for this News from Lake Wobegon podcast comes from the Sleep Number Bed by Select Comfort, the bed that lets you adjust the mattress firmness to your preference, your sleep number.
From Gary Rayner back there on the base. Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been sort of cold and rainy here this last week after an amazing stretch of weather. We had blizzards and below zero temperatures just a few weeks ago, and then suddenly we had about 24 hours of summer on Monday, and it got up to 80 in Minnesota. It was so confusing. It was really remarkable. People were out throwing a ball around in the streets. You couldn't work in your yards because it was too wet, so there was a week off for the working classes of Lake Wobegon, that is, people who have homes. It was quite remarkable, really, on Monday morning when that warm air moved in and there was still a sheet of ice out on the lake as the sun came up. And the warmth of the air and the ice produced this mist, this fog, a cloud that was just over the lake as the sun was just starting to come up. And Darlene, the waitress from the Chatterbox Cafe, who's been trying to walk 2 miles a day because she's trying to lose weight because she's come across this guy on the internet and she's sort of interested in him and she hasn't really met him in person yet, and yet this hope in her heart somehow, this balloon of hope above her head, this great dirigible of hope, this zeppelin of love is following her around. She thinks about him all of the time. She was walking her 2 miles, and as she was walking north alongside the lake and the sun was coming up in the east, it cast her long shadow out into the mist over the ice and the water. And she looked, and there around the shadow of her head far out was a rainbow covering the top of her head. It was like an aura. It was so mysterious and wonderful. It's been a long time since General Science, so she couldn't remember what would have produced that in mist and the sunlight and the prisms of the little beads of water in the fog. She just looked at it, and she had this sense, you are where you belong, which answered a question which has been in the back of her mind for about 20 years now. She had this feeling of you are where you ought to be. And then she had this other odd feeling. Who can I possibly tell about this? Nobody. Nobody. If you were living in Northern California, I mean, you could walk in and tell anybody that you had seen your shadow in a mist and there was a rainbow around your head, and they would say, oh, yeah, that's happened to me. I mean, yeah. To talk about an epiphany, a spiritual awakening, a spiritual moment in Northern California, you could tell your mailman about this. And he would tell you about time he was biking up in the Sierras and something about the rhythm of his feet on the pedals and his breathing formed this sort of confluence with a phrase that was going through his mind. And he stopped on the ridge and he wrote in his journal. I mean, the produce guy at the supermarket would have something to share with you about this. But she thinks back to her customers sitting there on the stools in the Chatterbox Cafe, the people she walks up and down, and she freshens up their coffee and she brings them big platters of eggs over easy on hash browns and sausage. And if she looked at one of them, even on their best day, and she said, I saw a rainbow over my head this morning, and it seemed to tell me that I am where I belong, they would look away as fast as they could, first of all, and they wouldn't eat the eggs that she had brought. They would figure that she'd gone berserk. No, she couldn't tell anybody, but she walked around all week with this great mystery in her mind, this vision that she had seen. It just came out of nowhere. Spring, things like this happen. Clint was rolling on the rolling bench. He was under Pastor Inkvist's car, and he was looking at the suspension, and he was looking at the brakes, and then he saw feet go by in the garage, and it was his wife's feet, and he kind of shrank down because they haven't been getting along lately. And they had this big, long conversation in the house in which she sort of cataloged all of his faults. And it was not a generous catalog. This was not a forgiving sort of a thing. It was like General Sherman going through Georgia. I mean, she burnt and pillaged him there in one evening, and he's been sort of afraid of her since. When he rolled out after she had left, he found a paper sack there on his workbench with a lily taped to it, and there was a chocolate in a silver wrapper, and there was a post-it note on the brown bag that said, "I hope you know how much I love you." Well, he looked at it. Quite an amazing thing, the post-it note. He folded it and he put it into his pocket. Or was it an accusation? He wasn't sure. Probably you don't know how I feel about you living in the mist of ignorance as you do. You probably have no clue as to my feelings, which at this moment happen to be love. He wasn't sure. There was a big thing at Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility this last Sunday. It was the fifth Sunday of Lent, and Father Wilmer did not give a homily because the children were performing an original musical for the Lenten season written by Sister Arvon called Dreaming. That's what it said in the bulletin. So Father Wilmer just had a walk-on role in the Sunday morning mass this last week. Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility is an enormous church. It's a huge edifice in a small town. Archbishop Ireland back in the 1880s thought big, and he wanted to have these big palaces of faith in these little river towns, these little railroad towns out across the prairie. And so he built them, enormous things, high steeples going high above. And it's an enormous church. You sit inside Our Lady Church, and even if the church is full, which it almost was last Sunday, nonetheless you feel like peas in a pail, just kind of rattling around in there. And because it's so enormous, the acoustics are such that in most parts of the church you can't understand anything that's said from the pulpit. Father Wilmer gets up and pins the microphone to himself, and he preaches, and there are people here and there in the sanctuary who can't understand a word. He may as well be speaking in Latin for all they know. Oddly, it is those parts of the sanctuary where people tend to crowd in, and you see clumps of people. And because the children were passing the microphone back and forth to each other, and oftentimes they would forget, and because children who were not so sure about their lines would speak their lines very quietly, you couldn't understand anything that was in the musical. The children sang very quietly, and there was a piano somewhere back behind the altar, and there was a boy with a wooden chest and a silver lock on it, and there was several boys standing in a boat with a sail, and then there were people holding up boughs of spruce and flowers and big green cloths. It was hard to figure out exactly what it was about, and yet it brought people to tears. People were weeping over it. Myrtle Krebsbach came around to talk to Sister Arvon afterward, who was offering memorial lilies for Easter Sunday, $5 per lily. It'll be up on the altar in memory of whoever you wish. And Myrtle bought one in memory of two of her sisters who haven't died yet, but they're in the Good Shepherd home, and they're kind of wandering around in their early 90s and all bent over from osteoporosis, and one of them has a broken collarbone, and they're a little forgetful, so she bought two in their memory, and she said, "That was so beautiful. What was that about?" And Sister Arvon said, "Rejuvenation." She's a direct woman, Sister Arvon. She's a plain spoken. Rejuvenation, you know, restoring youth, the spirit of youth. Like it says in the gospel, you know, except ye be as little children. So that was the meaning of it. Myrtle was weeping over it. It was so beautiful. She said it was just like Peter Pan. It just reminded me of Peter Pan. I expected those children to fly at any moment. The Lutheran Church is set for a big week, as is Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility. Maundy Thursday services, and then Good Friday services, of course. No services on Sad Saturday. People are busy getting their ham ready and getting the corn casserole and the lemon dessert. And then it will be Easter at last, Easter Sunday. The Lutheran Church was cleaned out this last week by volunteers. They brought the Murphy's oil soap, and they vacuumed the whole place, and they cleaned it. Clint Bunsen was on the committee of volunteers that did all of this. And when it was all clean and everybody had gone down to the basement for cookies and coffee, he sat in a pew in the empty sanctuary, which is very plain, as of course a Lutheran church would be. And he looked up at the stained glass window up at the end of Jesus praying in the garden. And he remembered when he was a boy and Easter, and when the choir would march in and sing, "O thou in whose presence my soul takes delight, on whom in affliction I call." He could feel all these ghosts around him. He thought of his wife and of her love for him. He decided it was a love letter. "After all, I hope you know how much I love you." And then he heard someone rustle in the pew right behind him and kneel down. Although there is no kneeler there, they knelt on the floor. He could hear somebody right behind him breathing. He thought it must be Irene come to tell him that she loved him. And then a voice that was right next to his ear said, "I had a vision this week. There was a rainbow around my head. We are exactly where we should be." He sat very, very still. He sat very, very still. And then he got up and he walked, not fast. He didn't walk away fast. He didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. He just walked away slow. And he walked away and he walked home. His wife was standing looking out the kitchen window. He stood next to her and he put his arm around her. He put his hand on her waist. They looked out the window together. It was a sweet, sweet moment. Holy Week, Lake Wobegon. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.